This is Infidel One. Offending Coyote Down. Offending Coyote Down.
Roger that.
Welcome to Trappin' Radio. We're proud, organic, free-range, wild fur farmers of North America.
Let me tell you a little story about how I was raised. Every day work, every day pray. God, family, friends, yeah, everybody sins. A winner never quits, and a quitter never wins. Help folks in need, don't fall for greed. A jealous man is weak, so think before you speak. If you love them, let them know. If you hate, let it go. Fast can be fun, but sometimes you need slow. God is all good, the devil is so real. So listen up, y'all, cause this is how I feel.
I won't back up, I don't back down. I've been raised up to stand my ground. Take my job, but not my guns. Tax my check till I ain't got none. Except for the good Lord up above. I answer to no one.
Now let's cover our sponsors. They do a lot to help support Trappin' Radio. So I'm asking you guys out there and gals to help support our sponsors as they keep Trappin' Radio on the air. First sponsors, Oki Cable and Trap Supply. Jeb's the owner of this. He's out of Oklahoma. Super guy. You'll not meet anybody nicer. It's somebody you're going to want to deal with. You can reach him at oktrapsupply.com. You can give Jeb a call at 918-429-4648. Not only does he do trap supply guys, he's a fur buyer, so if you're around the Oklahoma or surrounding states, give him a call with your fur. When you need stuff, give him a call and he'll get it out to you as soon as he can. Our second sponsor is F&T Fur Harvesters Trading Post. Everything you need for trapping, hunting with hounds, and predator calling. Guys, if you're into trapping fur, hunting fur, chasing fur with dogs, you're not going to be able to think of hardly anything that you can't get from F&T. You can reach them at fntpost.com. You can also give them a call at 989-727-8727. Whatever you want, F&T's got it. Blue Ridge Outdoor Supplies. Scott Payne is the owner of this business. He's in Elkton, Virginia. He also has a lure line, Mountain Rebel Lures and Baits. He's got a great coyote trapping video. He's also a fur buyer in Virginia. Anything that you're looking for and your trapping needs, give Scott a call and he'll get it right out to you. Wildlife Control Supplies, proven solutions for wildlife control, delivering value, expertise, and products to the wildlife individual. If you're an ADC business, control business, even fur trapping, you need to look at these guys' website. Top-notch company, have everything you would want, even the odd stuff that ADC guys are looking for. You can reach them at wildlifecontrolsupplies.com. You can give them a call at 877-684-7262. International number is 860-844-0101. If you're a wildlife control professional, you need to have Wildlife Control Supplies as one of your favorites on your computer or your phone, because when you come across something that you need specialized equipment, Alan will get it right out to you.
Now let's go trapping.
See, I'm a flag flying, Bible toting son of a gun. Yeah, I'm hell on the heart, just a rebel on the run. Scared, don't know it. Fear, don't feel it. The truth is the light. Sometimes you gotta fight. Good beats bad, right beats wrong. I'm a barroom preacher and this is my song. I'm climbing for the top, representing for the country. I'm the people's champ, right out to dig. Shotgun toter, Republican voter, Hank Jr. supporter, let's protect our border. To hell with anyone who don't believe in the USA, cause this is what I say.
I won't back up, I don't back down. I've been raised up to stand my ground. Take my job, but not my guns. Tax my check till I ain't got...
Well, happy Valentine's to all the trappers out there. It is February the 14th, Valentine's Day. Hopefully Cupid shoved a few more otter, bobcats, beaver, or coyotes into your traps for you last night, just to show that the little red thing with the wings and arrow loved you. We're going to get into the part two of why you should start a business. But don't worry, if this is not your thing, we're going to get back into the trapping next week. Later today, I'm going to be recording a show about the portable pockets, those things that I've been talking about a little bit and playing with, and some of the stuff I've been learning about them, because they are cool and they are fast, and it is a very neat system, and we're going to get into that. But sometimes trapping, the actual setting of the trap, does not really help the individual trapper out as much as he's thinking. A lot of it's mental. If you want to have, if you're looking for information, what does it take to be a professional trapper to the point, not the business side, but the point of what does it mentally, you have to think sometimes. I've got a book called Mindset of a Professional. Now, I wrote it. There's misspelled words in there. There's some grammatical errors in there. If you're an English teacher, you're going to have to get over it. Don't really want to hear that I misspelled something. The book was written a long time ago, and it's just the way it is. But I will say one thing. I've got to put a warning with that book. If you're a male and you have testosterone levels over 5, which is about dead, guys, do not read that book before you go to bed. Because it is very motivational to the point of it, your brain gets rolling so hard that you won't be able to sleep. About every couple of years, I read it myself. But if you're looking for the hard charging, fire breathing type mentality, that's where that's at. But today we're going to talk about business and why should you start a business. And there's a lot of reasons besides just money. And there's a lot of confusion, and there's a lot of reason only 80% of businesses succeed. It's not because business is hard. It's not because running a business is necessarily hard. It's because people do not understand how things work, because no one's been taught how things work. But why would you want to start a business? I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this. I kind of went on it last week, but if you didn't hear last week's show, because this is part two. For one, it's stability in life. You know, not to get political about this, the world we live in America is not the same that your parents grew up with. And if you're my age and older and you were taught that you get out of school and you get a good job and you stay there to retire, that world hardly exists anymore. Stability only comes when you take control of your own destiny, which in money is important. There's no way to get around money. You need money. Unless you're going to live completely on a tent, trespassing on somebody's property, you've got to have money. So it is important. If you have your own business and you control your own revenue streams, you've got stability. Because how many people do you know, talk to online and everything else, that they thought they were on the career path or the job that they were going to retire at, and they woke up one morning and they found they didn't have a job anymore. It closed, they downshift, they were in the business too long, and as they got older, through raises, the business could decide they're going to cut them for younger employees. All kind of different things happen. And that's just our business world we're living in right now is transforming. Just like it did from buggies to cars, just like it did during the Industrial Revolution, it's changing right now. And if you don't control some form of your revenue streams, guys, you're going to wake up one of these days and you're going to be in shock and you're going to be desperate. And if you go ahead and plan for that, because it's all around you, all you got to do is look at the newspaper. You know, start reading stuff like the Zero Hedge, different things like that. That's a website where it's talking about money from, not from the mass media point of view, and you kind of see what's going on a little bit better. You can make decisions now, whereas a trapper later, you don't have to be in such a panic just to make a house payment, because you've laid things in place that you can make some money. Now, quality of life, that's one that a lot of people miss when they're thinking about business, because most people, I've gave a lot of consultation on business, and I always ask and I always get the same answer, and it's the wrong answer. Why do you want to be in business? I want to make money. Well, if that's the reason you're going to be in business, your quality of life is terrible. I've got a friend that is a multimillionaire. And we've talked about this subject several times. And he's told me anybody in this country that wants to be a multimillionaire like I am can do it. The difference is their quality of life, even with all the money and all the resources and all the houses and his G5 jet and all that, it's really pretty sad. And then when you get all that stuff, it's a burden, it's not a blessing. And the quality of life, he's jealous of somebody like me. Because I do what I want to do, and I don't make near the money that I could in other fields, but I have a great quality of life, and that quality of life should mean something to you. If you want to be a trapper, and you want to go trap, you've got to set yourself up, and the only way I know how to do that is with a business or find an occupation that's summer-based. And then your quality of life is you get to go do what you want to do. Now, are you going to always make as much money when you do that? Probably not. But your quality of life is better. One of my many jobs when I got out of high school, I was a river guide at Accoy in Tennessee. You go and you tourists come down and you put them in these great big rubber boats and you take them down the Accoy River and you try to keep them from getting killed and drowned and everything else. And that was one of the jobs that I did. I was a guide for that. Well, there were several people that now I look back on them and I think they're extremely wealthy. They didn't have a lot of money, but they loved to be on the river. They loved to be in the woods, hiking and mountain biking and all that stuff that I think is a lot of wasted energy, but they loved it. And they loved being on that water every day. They would work the United States, and in our winter, they would go to New Zealand, Australia, places like that, and they would do the same thing over there. Their whole life revolved around what they wanted to do. Now, could they go out and just buy three new cars if they wanted to? No. But their quality of life was off the charts, and they were extremely happy. And when it comes to business, if you don't have a plan to have a quality of life, I promise you, your quality of life will be degraded. You know, a lot of you have tried to call me after like 6 o'clock at night. And the phone rings, no one picks up. A lot of you have tried to call me on the weekends. The phone rings, I don't pick up. A lot of you try to call me at 5 o'clock in the morning. I don't pick up. Holidays, I don't pick up. Now, years ago, I had that phone on me all the time, and I was not thinking about quality of life. People were calling me on Christmas morning, during Thanksgiving dinner, 11 o'clock at night, 5:30 in the morning, all this. It was constant going on, and my quality of life from that was getting degraded, especially with my wife. So once I realized what was going on, even if it cost me some business, I'm fine with it personally. About 6 o'clock, I turn my phone off. I just turn it off. You know why I can do that? Because it's my business. On the weekends, if I'm doing something with Cindy, I turn the phone off. I don't worry about it. I've got control over my quality of life by doing that. Now, if you're a salesperson for a company, you're wired in with texts and phones and computers 24 hours a day. If they call you at 2 o'clock in the morning, you better answer the phone. And your quality of life from that is terrible. So you got to think about that. If you want to be a trapper, you got to plan to be a trapper. And if you want to go trap for 3 months out of the year, you've got to come up with a plan to allow you to trap 3 months out of the year. It also gives you a lot of freedom. If you run a business. Now, depending on where your business is and its stage in life, at the beginning, you got to work your butt off. The idea of 40 hours a week is a joke. 40 hours a week, when I hear people complaining because they got to work over, I just don't understand that. 40 hours a week doesn't make any sense, especially probably the first 5 or 6 years you start a business. It's more like 70, 80, or 90. sometimes it's just insane what you have to do. But there's a reason to go through that. That reason is you learn a lot. And down the road, you get in the harvesting stage of a business. That harvesting stage, you can cut back on your hours. And by then, if you're smart enough, you've got systems in place where things are kind of going on their own. And you can have revenue coming in from that. And that's what you want. Because even if you're a trapper and you've got wife and kids, wouldn't you like to be able to just go, you know, I think for the next 10 days, we're just going to go to the Gulf of Florida. And we're going to go hang out and have a good time. Or maybe I want to go to Canada and hunt whitetail deer. Or, you know, I'm a history buff and I would love to go over to Europe and look at some of the history sites over there. Once you go through the process of a business and you get everything going, you've got that ability to make that choice. So it gives you a tremendous amount of freedom. You know, I'm sitting here right now while I was preparing notes for this show. I'm in flip-flops, camo pants. I was listening to Judas Priest, Autograph, and Quiet Riot. That was my morning routine to get ready for the show. Now, to you, that may sound terrible. To me, it was enjoyable, and I was working. I was, you know, I'm doing the show for that. To me, that gives me freedom to do that. I couldn't do that if I had to go somewhere and trade my hours to somebody else. It's just not possible. That quality of life to me could mean in the summertime, I can carve out 4 hours a day to work in my garden if that's what I want to do. I can go fishing if I want to do that. I can go on vacation. That is why I want trappers to have a business, because once you get the hang of it and you start generating income, it frees you up to where most people don't know that. It's just 2 weeks a year. Hopefully you get a snow day and a few federal holidays you get off. That's about it. Life's too precious for that, in my opinion. It also gives you a higher value in life because you understand what's valuable in life. And it really changes your the way that you look at your time and stuff like that, because the difference between from being an employee and being a business owner is I can choose to do things that are higher in income with less time. But you can't do that if you're trading hours for money. You just do what you're told. So if I get creative enough and I find something that's going to be value enough to customers that I get a system down to be able to do that, I can concentrate on that and generate a lot more money with a lot less hours. You don't have that option with a job. And it just gives you such a better life and more freedom. And you start to see the value in your own production, because that's what it is. Now, if you're looking at business for the first time, like I said, most people, when I give consultations and I ask them why they want to be in business, they always say, I want to make lots of money. That is the wrong way to get into this. And that's counterintuitive to what most people think. A business only works when they give value to a customer. That's it. And just think about something. If you were going grocery shopping and you had a store that always had what you wanted and they were really nice in there, and the prices were decent, and it was clean, and it was fresh, and, you know, whatever it is you're looking for in a grocery store, it was in there, and it was a good experience, that's probably where you would go. Now, a new grocery store comes into town, and it's called I'm Here for Profit, Bring Me Your Money. Shopping. Whatever. Now, how many people is going to go into that business? Nobody. One is giving you value that you want, and one is just for trying to take your money. And a lot of businesses, the reason most of them start, they go, well, I can do this and make this, and I can get away with just enough customer service and just enough product quality to get somebody's money, and then I'm going to be making money. And they fail every single time. Profit is a side effect of giving customers value. When you understand that, it changes the way you're going to look at your business, whatever that is. Because I'm not just talking about a business in trapping. And we're going to get into why that's so important in a minute. Because you may, in your particular situation, whoever you are listening to this, it may be better for you not to have a business in trapping, like a supply business or what we do in predator control or an ADC business or anything like that. It may be better off for your circumstances to have a business outside of trapping to allow you freedom to go trap and do what you want to do for the winter time of the months. I would be just as happy if people were to do that as they would figure out how to make money in the trapping industry. Because all of the values and all the upsides of this is still going to play a part of that. But you got to start off understanding, and I'm going to use trapping as an example. If you build a widget that saves a trapper time and is easy to use and is quality and whatever it is, and it's priced where that trapper can afford it, and once he starts using that, he cannot imagine not having it after that point. Once you go through that process of whatever that widget is, and you lay that out there in front of the trapper and they accept it, your job was to find the widget. Your job was to perfect the widget. Your job was to market the widget. The profit comes afterwards. It's just a byproduct of what the business actually is, which is finding a better widget. Now, in that, you're not thinking, well, if I've got to come up with a widget just to make money, because the mindsets are so different. If you're coming up with a widget just to make money, you're not going to be looking at it from the right perspective, and it's not going to work out for you. It hardly ever does. But if you come up with a widget that the trapper really wants, really needs, he's going to buy it. He's going to tell his friends about it. All of a sudden, your mailbox is going to be full of money. People are going to be handing you cash at a convention. And your internet store is going to be buzzing every morning that you wake up. Not because you went in it to make money, but because you found a way to make someone else's life better. And when you start looking at it that way, I promise you, there's more opportunity out there, because if you start getting out of the mindset of what's on the market and what would make your life as an individual trapper better, there's all kinds of stuff out there. All kinds of stuff out there to do that. You can make something better. You can come up with systems. You can get in the educational side of stuff. You can do whatever you want to do. But if you understand that profit is nothing but a side effect of what your real job is, and that's to add value to someone else's life or their trapping line, or whether you're going to get into building fireplaces, I don't care what it is. But if you find ways to do that, oh, dude, money just shows up. It's amazing. And when you look at life that way, and this is getting really, really philosophical, and I understand that, but I think it's super important for somebody to understand this. And a lot of guys that I meet at conventions are just great guys, but they don't understand this concept, and they're in the same stagnant business 10 years from now as they were when they started, because they don't grasp how you really make money. And really making money is not through selling. Really making money is helping other people and making their life better. And when you grasp that, you look at what does my business need to do at a totally different angle. Because now it's not just, I need money in my pocket. Because if you're going about it with money making, you're going to start cutting corners. You're going to start, that's good enough. You're going to start, you know, maybe exaggerating a little bit about what something is. And it always comes back and bites you in the butt. But if you're the guy that actually builds his business off of the principle of making someone else's life better, it's easy. It really is easy. And it's such a different mindset when it comes to someone that trades hours for dollars and someone that does what I just told you to do and make other people's life better. Here's the difference. And this is going to be really, really hard for some guys to I think, understand until they really think on it a while and look about it from different perspectives. Money to someone that works for hours or a salary is negative. It's not a good thing. Money to a business owner that is always trying to improve other people's life is a good thing, and it's always coming. It's always there. It's always showing up. So if you go to buy something as an employee where you're trading your time for hours, you can only work so many hours. And you've got other things in life that you're going to be paying, like a mortgage and a truck and all that. So after all that's said and done, you've got a pile of money. That doesn't really change. Now, every couple of years, you may get 2% more, but that amount stays the same. So you've got to guard that money, and you've got to sit there and you know, try to keep that money the best you can and do everything with that money. You get every little bit of ounce out of that money. Now, a business owner that builds a business off of helping somebody else, he doesn't look at money the same way. If that business owner wants to go on vacation, it's going to cost $3,000. He doesn't really worry about it because he knows he's got other income coming in, and he can always change what he's doing to generate more income, whereas an employee can't do that. In the life of that and the view of life of that totally changes the quality of life. And I really hope that I'm explaining that well enough, because to an entrepreneur, money is endless. He may not always have as much as he wants at a particular time, but he knows he's got the opportunity to make as much as he wants to make. It's just how much he's willing to do and how creative he can get and how much better he can come up with things to make people's life better. And when you really get a grasp on that, you realize money is pretty irrelevant. And then you start making decisions in your business to really gear down towards, let's help other people out. And then all of a sudden, guess what, guys? Money starts showing up even more. And then you can just recycle that back in there. More shows up. But it's not the same if you're just trying to buy something and sell something and work off a 20% margin. That type of business does not revolve in this realm. And it does not revolve in there if you're trading your hours for money, because you're only going to work so many hours, so you're limited in what you can do, which means you're limited in your income. So if you're going to have a business, whatever it is, unless it's just straight fur trapping, you need to, and even that, I mean, if you're the guy in the county that closes the gates and doesn't rut up the roads and helps out the farmers and the landowners and all that type stuff, you're going to get, you because you're helping somebody else out, and you're not always thinking, well, I ain't doing it unless you give me some money, or screw you. And we hear it all the time at conventions. I guarantee you, at a convention you hear that same mentality right there. So the guy that's been the guy that's thinking, he's geared his business towards helping others and adding value to their life, so that if they got 6 chickens and they don't get killed by cows, and he comes in, shows them how to trap or traps for them or whatever, when fur prices go up, do you know who makes a big lick on money? Not the guy that's got the screw you unless you give me money mentality. The guy that's been out there and helping people and going about, because he's got all the property. He's got endless access to property. Those landowners are not going to let the next Tom, Dick, or Harry come down the road permission on their property, because that guy has added value to them. You see how that works? The screw you mentality, unless you give me money, it's just limiting, because you're holding something for hostage, and customers do not like being held for hostage, just like you don't like being held for hostage. Now, if you don't know how to really get into some of the business stuff, guys, our educational system sucks. It does. It sucks bad. It's going to be up to you to learn how to do this type stuff. It's going to be up to you to learn about marketing. It's going to be up to you to learn about taxes. It's going to be up to you to learn about customer service. It's going to be up to you to go out and find people that think way outside of the box that you can use somehow in your business. And a lot of it you won't be able to use. There's not a A, B, or C answer to any of this. It's a journey. You know, our founding fathers of this country were not educated in the formal sense that we think education are, but they are way smarter than people coming out of college. They took topics that they were interested in, and they studied, and they studied, and they studied. Now, I know that doesn't sound sexy, and everybody says they ain't got time. We've talked about that before. That is baloney. I read an hour a night every night that I go to bed. When I'm packaging orders or on the way to Texas to trap or running a trap line, I've got business podcasts and different podcasts that I'm interested in downloaded on an MP3 player that I listen to so I can learn. I listen to the music too, but I also listen to stuff that I can learn. I'm always striving to be better at whatever it is that I'm looking at doing at that time. Especially with the internet now, there's no excuse whatsoever not to be able to go about that. It's a shame when I always hear people go, well, I don't know how to do it. Are they waiting for someone to hand them an outline to be able to do it? And it's never going to work out that way. You have got to take charge of what you're going to be doing. Now, earlier I said, you know, maybe some of you, it's better not to have a trapping business besides fur trapping. And this is what I mean by this. When I was in the pool industry, that's an industry that is very high-paced, it is very long hours, and it's very defined in its season. So you start in the spring, you finish in the fall, and there's nothing to do. And I'm not saying anybody should go get in the pool industry, but there's all kind of stuff like that. What that allowed me to do is make money in the summer and trap in the winter. I didn't have a paycheck during the winter because there wasn't nothing going on. There wasn't any income coming in from that business. But it gave me the quality of life to go out and trap. There's a lot of jobs in tourist that pay a lot of money in short periods of time that you can do that. And now, the reason most people don't do that is they have this illusion of security. They have this illusion that if I go work down at Factory A or this business B, that I've got this amount of money coming in every week or every month or however it is you get paid. And they're trading their whole life for that illusion of security. But the reason it's illusion is looking at the unemployment rate, because if you look at the real unemployment rate, it's about 20-something percent. When you take all the games out of the numbers, it's about 20-something percent. And as the stock market's climbing, it's kind of leveled off now. It's kind of trying to correct a little bit. It's probably going to go up for a little bit. Then it's going to come way down again, because that's just the way the stock market does. And when the stock market does that, what do businesses start doing? They start laying people off. The illusion of security. Industries change. They morph. That means the people that's worked in that industry now are out of a job. But if you come up with a way that's not affected by that much, and you have a part-time job, or what most people would call a part-time job in the summer, but you can almost, say, make 60-70% of what you need to make a living for, whatever your goal is, in that amount of time. Then you get to go trap and have that income. Dude, that's a pretty good life. That's great value from doing that. When I was in the pool business, I could go out and really bust my hump and make almost as much as I need to make for the whole year in the summer. You know, there's guys that run concrete businesses. It's in construction. It's more seasonal type stuff. You know, there's a lot of you out there that's got skills and other things besides trapping that could make as much money, almost as much money as you've got in a job, because of things you do like hog hunting and fishing, and you could do guiding and you could do different things like that. You could build a business based around those things to totally free you up to go trapping. But most people are just too scared to do it. they're too risk averse to do it. They think, well, I've got kids, I've got a house payment, I've got this. Everybody's got that. Everybody's got that. Some people choose freedom when it comes to doing that thing. And you can do the same thing, I promise you. So you got the option to plan your life, whatever that is with a business, to go trapping or to go do something else or whatever. Because I guarantee there's a lot of guys listening to this that don't want to have anything to do with a full-time living and trapping. It's a brutal way to make a living if you're just talking fur trapping. You know, some guys do ADC and they piddle around with fur. There's nothing wrong with that. Some guys just want to trap for 2 weeks out of the year or a couple hours before work for a month. There ain't nothing wrong with that. But even if you're on the small scale of trapping for income, do yourself a favor and start looking outside of your comfort zone of how you can change your life with a business, one way or another. Because it will. It'll totally change the way that you start thinking and stuff. Now, when you start thinking about a business, you've got to think about the difference between personal wealth and money. They're two totally different things. Because if you like to fish in the summer and trap in the winter, and you build two businesses that can generate $20,000 or $25,000, and you can live off $50,000, and you can have a life of fishing and trapping, or you can go get a job in a cubicle that you don't like for $65,000 to have a lifestyle that don't let you do what you want to do, one is not as good as the other. I'd much rather be fishing and trapping. Or whatever it is you want to do. That is wealth. Wealth of that is that. Another thing about wealth when it comes to business is understanding assets and money. Two totally different things. Wealth does not always equate to money. Wealth could be your vehicles and your traps and your sheds and different things like that. That has real on a spreadsheet, that's got as much value as it does with money. And then you throw, what is it worth to you to do what you want to do? You start looking at things a different way, because you got to start thinking of your life in terms of value and not just money. Because if you don't, you're always chasing something that you can't catch. And when you do catch it, you realize it wasn't what you thought it would be, and then you got to go start chasing something else that you really don't want to catch either. Because money, up to a point, is irrelevant. There's been a lot of studies on money. From about up to about $25,000, people struggle. And all they want is more money. And a lot of those people break out of that through education or business or whatever, and they start generating more money. It seems to be about the $80,000 mark on up doesn't change in happiness. Because once you get really high income, all that stuff becomes a burden. But when you're in that sweet spot where you can kind of do what you want to do when you kind of want to do it, and you don't really have to worry about, am I going to lose my house, you're happy. And that's a sweet spot that trappers can definitely be into and not have to be a Bill Gates or Donald Trump. You don't have to own a Walmart. You don't have to go buy a franchise and work at McDonald's for $90 hours a week in your own franchise. You don't have to do that. But that about $60,000 to $80,000 is a sweet spot where people are extremely happy. They're not struggling. They're not super rich. And their wealth has not become a burden. And anybody listening to this show can hit that sweet spot. Anybody can, if you decide to do it. Now, if you're going to be getting into business, one way or another, whatever that's going to be, you cannot have a union mentality. If you're in a union and you're offended by me saying that, I don't know what to tell you. A union mentality. I had a guy that I went trapping with, and he worked for a union in a great big factory. Now, where I live, we don't have great big factories, and I was curious about what a great big factory was. And off and on through that week, when he would talk to people he worked with, they always complained about how much money they were working. This was like 12, 14 years ago. Well, I went to this big factory at night, and they had shifts working. Great guys working in there, no doubt. But you'd see people at these stations, and mentally, it was something a teenager could do. And physically, it was something that was non-existent. You may hit a button every 20 minutes or move this piece of metal over to this thing and hit a button when it comes down the line. I mean, it wasn't like it was really massively working. It wasn't even stressful, except for the fact everybody was always in a tizzy about what they made. And they were making, I could not believe the amount of money they were making. Because I remember it was like $32 an hour. It's like 15 years ago. And none of them really had to do anything. But they just wanted more and more and more for doing less and less and less. And eventually the factory closed. That's what I'm talking about, a union mentality. Where if I'm physically present, somebody owes me a salary where I can go do whatever I want to do. Just because I'm breathing and I'm here. That union mentality is dangerous. And if you're going to try to do a business, guys, you can't think that way. Not at all. We've all heard the phrase, you know, work hard, not smart. Well, I can tell you, anybody that's successful will tell you that is a stupid, stupid, stupid phrase. It's moronic. That's from somebody that doesn't work hard and doesn't work smart. That's who comes up with stuff like that. Nobody successful thinks that way. Someone that's successful works hard and they're smart about it. So when you're looking at all this stuff, you've got to physically work hard, not busy, but work hard and productive. And you got to be smart about what you're doing so it's meeting your goals of what it is and it's not just busy work. When a lot of guys look at business for the first time, they think of it like a union mentality of, okay, I go to this factory, I do whatever my task is, I get this great big salary, I can go on vacation, I can get a new truck, I can da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. That union mentality, if you take that into business, is dangerous. And here's why. Because business, for the most part, especially the way that I see business, me personally, it's revenue streams. None of my revenue streams are those union jobs. None of them are. Together, they're a lot more than a union job. But I may be I'm looking at DVDs, and I'm looking at lure, and I'm looking at predator control, and I'm looking at fur, and I'm looking at instruction, and I'm looking at our schools. All those are individual revenue streams. That when they all meet up at the end, it's good money. But what a lot of people do that are especially coming from an employee background, they look at each one of those. Well, I don't want to do that. I can't make a living doing that. Well, I don't want to just fur trap. I can't make a living fur trapping. Well, how many what's the DVD market like? I'm going to make a deal. Well, that's not as much as I thought it was. I'm not going to do that. It's going to take how many years before I really start making money in lure, which is about a decade? Well, I'm not going to do that because I'd be losing money. But they're missing the big picture. If you're doing the fur, and you're doing the lures, and you're doing the instruction, and you're doing the DVDs, and you're doing advertisement because you've got kicking websites on the internet, and you're doing all that, those income streams come together and they do something. But most people get stuck on each individual revenue stream about what they're making because they're wanting the big lick on everything they do, just like a union job. I push a button, you give me $32 an hour. Well, that's not the way small business works. You make so much from this, you make so much for that, and when it's all said and done, you have a certain amount of income. So you can't think about it from that union mentality of it's got to be all or nothing on everything that I do, because if you do, you're going to wash out really quick, because you're going to find out that things don't always happen as fast as people think they do. You've got to learn to prioritize your time. Now, this is a tough one for everybody. I don't care who you are, everybody. If you're going to, if say you're going to get into a small business for trapping, where you're going to build widgets for trappers, and you see a widget that you can make some money on, and you see another widget that you can make some money on, so you start making these two widgets, and then it's three widgets, and it's four widgets, and you're just always busy making these widgets. Well, if you step back from that, you may be able to go, for the time involved and for the expense involved and the energy involved, if I cut out widget A, B, and C and really concentrate and blow up my business for widget D, because I can focus my time on that, and the productive part of my time on that, I can make more money. Because most people, when you see them at conventions, they got a lot of little stuff that they don't make any money on. You know, and you hear it all the time at conventions. Well, I can make a dollar off that, and it's a dollar I didn't have. Well, that's someone that's living in the world of busy work. And busy work is okay if you got a job, because you come in, you got to look busy all the time for the boss, you got to, you know, meet certain criteria, but you know, if you don't think that work for hours is busy work most of the time, get your work done and take a nap right there at your desk or right there at your station. If you get your quota done, take a nap right there. See what happens. Boss is not going to be happy. But if you spread that out through a whole day, boss don't care, because you look busy. He's paying you by the hour. From a business point of view, since you're not getting paid by the hour and it's pure production of whatever it is you're doing, you've got to learn not to get into busy time work. Because I see it a lot of times at conventions, especially, people get into making steaks and T-bars and stuff like that. And when you figure up the cost of rebar and the time of cutting and the time of welding and the electric and the welding rod and the gas and all that stuff to do that, they're not making any money. But if they, because they're just trying to figure out a way for someone to hand them money at a convention. Because people need steaks, so I'm going to build steaks. And even though there's 50 other people at this convention that's building steaks, I may get some of that money, so I'm going to spend all this time making these T-bars. But if they were to look at their business from the point of view, what the trappers really need, even if it takes them 2 years to start their business so they find that baby, if they take that route when they show up at a convention, now they've got something trappers are all looking at and want and need and want to use. Not just something they have. Because right now, the way our industry's going, you've got some really big players that have manufacturing facilities that are kicking out all of the mundane little products. And you're not going to be able to compete on price. And you're not going to be able to compete on time. And you're not going to be able to compete on volume or marketing or anything else. So you got to come up with a baby when you're doing stuff like that. So you can't do the busy work, you got to do productive work. And that's where most businesses get in trouble. Because you have things that you want to do that are considering fun but don't really make you any money. So you've got to find those things that make you money and concentrate. There's a great book out there, it's called Good to Great. The second book to that really gets into this more, so you'd have to Google this because I don't remember the name of it. But he gets into a term called hedgehogging. If you read that second book, he'll explain all these different examples through history, how businesses were floundering till they started hedgehogging. And hedgehogging is focusing on something that's really needed and it takes the max production with the least amount of time and energy, and they really hammer that home. That's what hedgehogging is. I would definitely recommend doing that. Now we're going to get into some money figures of why you need to be in business in a minute, but I want to go over a few more of these things. And I know this may seem like I'm just lecturing, and guys, I'm not doing that. All I'm trying to do with these two shows, and then I'm going to leave this alone for a long time, is I want you to start thinking from a business owner's point of view where you can start seeing opportunity. Because a business owner, I can tell you right now, I could have 50 businesses. I could do 10 times what I'm doing in the trapping industry, at least get them started. There's so much opportunity in this world. There's so much money just laying out there that's just waiting to come your way if you start thinking in the right way. It really is. It's endless opportunity, even in down economies. Because the thing about starting your own business, if you really have something people want, because I truly believe that our economy is going to be in trouble here in a few years in a big way, businesses that have something people want, they're still going to buy. Back in the Depression, taxidermists still made a lot of money. Think about that one a minute. Taxidermists still made a lot of money. They can't. People come up with money for stuff they want. And if our economy starts going south, the way our dollar's looking, and the way that we're going, I mean, they just passed, good grief. Now we're getting ready to go up to $17 trillion in debt. You know, there's going to be a massive adjustment in our economy. And if you don't have a business set in place, you're at the total mercy of stuff that you have no control over. And I do not want that for any trapper under any circumstances. Now, the other thing that I want to get into before we get the money is greed. Greed is a dangerous, dangerous thing. When I was talking about my work morning starting in flip-flops, listening to Quiet Riot, taking notes for my radio show before I start recording, and you automatically went, it must be nice. I wish I could do that. Stuff like that. Guys, that is really what greed is right there. If somebody's catching more fur than you, and all you do is try to figure out a way of how they're cheating or how they're doing something wrong, or you could do it if, and this, that, and the other, that's a form of greed, guys. It's not just wanting something somebody else has. It's a mental capacity that if you live in the world of greed all the time, you're never going to be successful. Ever going to be successful. If you're jealous of what another company does, you're not going to be successful yourself because you're putting your energy into something that's non-productive. If you're jealous of me because how much lure I sell, and you're always focusing and bitching and complaining and spending time on forums talking about this, and you know, always talking to your friends about the only reason he's doing this because of this and this and this, and if I had whatever he had, or I knew what he knew and all this, I could do better and yada, yada, yada. All your energy is being spent on something that's not productive for you. Greedy people worry about other people. What do they have? What are they doing? How are they cheating? Why can't I do that? How come I'm not getting that? But you're not willing to really go out and do what they did to get it. It's greed. Not in the terms of Wall Street greed that we think about, but in a way it is. Greed is so destructive, and it's really destructive in our industry. Because I think trappers have the same DNA that people that go to the gold rushes do. They see a prize, it can make them a lot of money, they do anything at all costs to get there. And then if you've ever been to the gold, if you've ever seen the historical things on the gold rush towns, it's never pretty. Because everything in that little camp is based off of personal greed. Now the businesses at the gold rush camp that made more money than the people digging for gold were the people that made the life of the gold diggers easier by having them supplies. They made the gold. They brought in the food, the wine, the liquor, the girls. They brought in lumber. They brought in coffee. They brought in all this stuff. They made the lives of the people that were digging gold easier. They're the ones that walked away from all the gold rushes with more money. Because they didn't look at it from a greed point of, I'm going to go get gold and strike it rich right now. Now, being greedy is dangerous. Serving your self-interest is not. Serving your self-interest is, okay, I'm a coon trapper. How can I come up with products or ways or systems or educational-based courses or whatever it is, so when a guy gets this, he goes out, he catches more coon, he catches them quicker, they catches them easier, everything about it's better. If you set yourself up to start looking at things that way, your self-interest is you're going to make income in on the back end. There's nothing wrong with that, because you're going about it from a totally different way. Being in business and self-interest, you've got to have a profit to stay in business. There's no doubt about that one. That's your self-interest, making a profit. How you make that profit, though, is the difference between greedy and good. Because people that do it the right way, for the most part, unless they're using force of government or something like that, or the force of a gun, they always win in the end. Because people want to give them money. They don't feel like they have to give them money. That's the big difference. So I've did some notes here, and I want to talk about the part of the reason when we talk about wealth and value of life, that it's so upside down for someone that hobby traps and it's someone that goes about it from a business point of view. Because you have value. You've got to understand what value is. That's your time. That's your productivity. That's everything that when you go out and do something that makes it worthwhile. That productivity, that time, everything about that. So we're going to use some examples here to kind of drive home this point, because like I said before, I'm not giving it tax advice or anything like that. But just to get your brain working of why hobby trappers are at such a disadvantage to a business. And it's a huge disadvantage. And a lot of guys will not start a trapping business because they're so worried that if they catch $10,000 worth of fur, that they're going to have to pay $2,800 in taxes on that fur. I can tell you right now that I'm talking to an employee of something else, and they're looking at this as a hobby if I hear that. And I'm going to give you some examples why. Why it's so different. Say you're going to run a trap line of 100 miles. That's not crazy. 100 miles a day, that's 50 miles out and back. Over 2 months, that's 6,000 miles, guys. Right now, I don't know what the actual term is because Predator Control Group is an S-Corp. When you're incorporated the way that I am, you don't use mileage anymore. It's straight deductible. So I don't know what this is, but it's going to be really close to this, if not more. So right now on your taxes, you can take 0.50 or 50 cents per mile off running that. Now, what does that mean to a business? Well, that's a $3,000 deductible that's going to come off income somewhere down the line. $3,000. Now, to a business, that's not really $3,000. That's $3,840 worth of value because it's pre-tax money. And that's saying 28% taxes. Some of you states up north, it's a lot more than that. So that's almost an extra $1,000 of real value for doing that. Now, you've got a hobby trapper that is driving 100 miles a day, and you've got a business that's running 100 miles a day. They're doing the same thing. One gets a $3,000 deductible. Value-wise, $3,840 deductible. The hobby trapper does not get that $3,000 deductible. So if he pays taxes on his furs at $2,800, yeah, that's a bad deal. Because he's not set up like a business, and he's not thinking of it like a business. So that $2,800 he comes off of, is that's after all of the after-tax money's been spent to get that. I mean, the government's raping you 8 ways from Sunday if you're doing that. But a business owner, he may pay taxes on that fur, but now he's already at over $1,000 gain over the hobby trapper. Just on the mileage. Just on the mileage. That's one thing.
And if you look at true value, that $3,000 that you could have made as a business is not costing you $3,000, because when you got to take the tax account in too, because it's real. That's really costing you almost $4,000. $3,840. It cost you $3,840 to run that 100 miles on that non-deductible, because you didn't get $3,000, you had to earn more than $3,000. They took taxes out, then you get to spend it. So that's why it costs you more money than it does a business. You've got to understand value. Now I'm going to give another example of just a basic trap line. And you want to know why trappers don't think there's any money in trapping? If you hear somebody say that, it's because they're going about it. They're self-inflicting pain is what they're doing. Now I'm going to go through some numbers here real quick to show why most trappers can't make money trapping, because they're at such a disadvantage as a hobby trapper. You're going to have a fur shed. Not an elaborate fur shed, but you need a fur shed. So we're going to say that's $5,000. You got a truck. We're not saying a new truck. We're not saying a 1971 Ford truck. We're going to say $20,000. We're going to say you got $8,000 in traps. You'll be surprised how much money you got in traps over 10 or 15 years. That's really low, actually. You're going to run that 100-mile line. Somewhere in that year, you're going to get you're going to go pay someone for instruction because you want to learn. You're going to spend $200 on books or DVDs. You've got a computer that you're on the trapping forums and everything else with. You spend $600 on lure and bait. You've got miscellaneous of $2,000, which all these numbers are realistically low, guys. I don't want to blow this up to where it gets crazy. I want it to be in someone that maybe just getting started in trapping, they can see that I'm not just really going crazy with these numbers to prove a point. I mean, you're talking waders, stakes, disposable stakes, stake pullers, trapping bags, chains, swivels, all that. And then you're going to run a river line, so you need a boat, so you get a medium of the road John boat at, say, $4,000. All those numbers is probably what a hobby trapper's got anyway. That comes out to $45,140 to go run a hobby line or to go run a business line. Now, what's the difference when you take a 28% tax on those two things? That's $12,639.20. A business and a hobby trapper is not the difference of $12,000, guys. It's not. The difference between a business and a hobby trapper is $25,278. Now, when you have a business, depending on how you and your CPA set it up, that value comes back to you in many different ways. It could be that money comes off the income you're making at another business or a job. It may not be a check from the government. It may mean you get an extra $6,000 or $7,000 back some years on your tax return. It can come back in all different kind of ways, because you're going to have to depreciate some of these off. But the difference between a hobby trapper and a business is $25,000, a little over $25,000 difference. It's not an equal playing field. You're not going to generate the value as a hobby trapper, but you're doing the same amount of work. Now, who out there thinks that makes any sense whatsoever? It's just the rules the way that they are. The guy that's taking off his mileage that already has a truck and he's worried about $2,800 on $10,000 worth of fur he's not going to have to pay taxes on the fur if the only thing he kept up with was the mileage on his truck, because he's going to get $3,000 back on his taxes. They're going to equal out. Then he can take that $3,000 back on his taxes and use it somewhere else where he's got value on his taxes. Now, there's some big differences on just being a sole proprietor and incorporated. And I'm sure there's differences between LLC and an S-Corp like I am. But we just closed on this house next to me that we're going to be turning into a fur shed. And a lure shed. And a trap shed. The difference between me having to just go buy a shed and do this as a hobby trapper in this is my business is going to write me a check for the rent. It's going to also pay for the electric bill and the internet bill and everything like that going before taxes. I can charge myself more rent than that cost. Then I can come back to myself as the business writes me a check to lease it from me because I'm buying it personally, and I can make income above whatever that rent to true cost is and save 17% right off the top of that money. 17% may not seem like a lot, but it's the revenue streams going everywhere. I bought a house. I'm turning that house into a revenue stream for me because I'm a business owner. A hobby trapper cannot do that. Under any stretch of the imagination, can he not do that? If your wife likes the beach the way mine likes the beach, being an S-Corp, and this is where I don't know the difference between all of them because I've only studied what I am, I can do a self-funded IRA as a business. If I find a condo in Destin, Florida, somewhere down the road, if my business keeps growing, and we decide that for investment purposes, I want to go down there and start making payments on a condo, I can do that in a self-funded IRA. You cannot do that as an employee. Which means, because it's now retirement fund, if I make $50,000 a year and I want to put $20,000 a year inside of that retirement fund, which is a condo that me and Cindy want to go to the beach on, now my income is not $50,000, it's $30,000. I pay taxes on the $30,000. So I get to go buy a condo, and that's a big ticket item. I'm using that as an extreme, not that we're looking at buying a condo, but something that someone can understand. Pre-tax money. Now, someone that has a job without a business that's not set up to take advantage of these rules, and to say that the condo costs $200,000. I don't even know what they cost, but let's say $200,000. That's a $50,000 savings to me as a business owner. Now, as an employee without a business that has not taken the time or had the gumption or the will to take care of his own financial destiny, that condo doesn't cost you $200,000. It costs you $250,000. You see the disparity between the two? There's a reason feudal lords back in the medieval ages always gained wealth, and the peasants never did. It's because of crap just like that. I mean, I don't even understand some of the rules of taxes. Because I'm telling you, it's rigged for business owners. It is rigged for business owners. And it is rigged against people that are not business owners. It's unfair. It's not right. It's whatever. You can get mad about it till you're blue in the face. It's the world we live in. You know, unless libertarians take over the government, which I don't see happening anytime soon, that's just the world we live in. And that's what I want you to see. Because you're not taught this type of stuff in school. If your parents have been an employee their whole life, they don't even quite understand it. because they've never had to go out and really get down and see what it is. Everybody's got this concept about business owners, like write-offs. Yeah, write-offs are good if you've got the money to begin with. Well, he's just doing that for a write-off. Yeah, and sometimes that's a good thing, and sometimes you can buy it and go broke over it. So, you know, you hear stuff all the time from people that aren't in business themselves for any amount of time, and they have these conclusions that don't make a lot of sense in the real world. But I'm telling you, from me to you, the only way you're going to gain wealth in your own life, in freedom, in quality of life, and everything that you want to do, whether it be a specific trapping business or an outside of trapping business so you can have more time to trap, is you're going to have to figure out a way to start your own business. You got to come up with a product. You know, the trapping industry is pretty easy to get involved in. It's not like the deer industry per se, where you're dealing with Cabela's and Bass Pro and their budgets. We don't have those restraints in trapping. But I guarantee you, you have an interest that you can make money on if you're not too scared to go try it. And if it fails, who cares? Because when you're starting revenue streams, you don't depend on those revenue streams. You know, the one of the big things that I see a lot when guys start ADC business, or a lot that they start trying to get in predator control and stuff like that, they see somebody like myself, and they see all the contracts, and they know what some of those are worth, and they know how to use a calculator, and they go, wow, look at all that money. I'm going to go do what he's doing. And then they get a job, then they go 3 months without a job, and then they do a little bit of trapping, and then they do another job, and then all of a sudden now they ain't got no money. Well, what happened? They tried to jump in where someone else has been at it for 15 years. You know, I still hear today, well, you're like an overnight success. Yeah, it only took me 15 years. Really, it was about 9 or 10 years for anybody knew who I was at a trapping convention. But people want to come in at that level that someone else has been working on it all that time, because they don't see all the hours on the back end. They don't see all the trips and all the time being away from home and all the sacrifices that made up to that. They see someone that sells a lot of lure at a convention. So they go, most of the time they just go online, they get a hold of some Bill Nelson formulas, or they talk to some buddies, or they just try to come up with something that sounds good to them. They stick it in the bottle, they make a few thousand dollars. Which is most of the people in the lure industry. And they never really stick it out or brand themselves or do all the stuff that you've got to do to get where you can make a living selling lure. They want it right now. With no work. Not paying dues, with not all that type stuff. And it's not going to work that way. And they're not willing to take the chance and fail till they figure some things out. See, a lot of the failures that I've done, y'all don't know about. Successes you know about. So if you try to jump in and just be Clint, you're thinking only the success and not the failures. But when the failures come up and bite you in the butt, you don't know what to do about it. Because Clint doesn't have failures. I mean, that's funny. I've done a lot of stuff that's cost me a lot of money. Because I just knew that they would work and they didn't. I'm trying stuff all the time. And I'm going to leave you with a little parable. And this is from a guy named Joel Salatin. He is actually a farmer from Virginia. And I was watching a thing on YouTube where he was giving a class about the way that he gardens or farms. He's more of a cattle farmer, chicken farmer. But he was saying the biggest mistake that people believe when they're trying to get into what he's doing or anything else is everybody's heard if it's worth doing, it's worth doing right. Now, what does that imply? If it's worth doing, it's worth doing right. We've all had grandparents that said it. Parents say it. We meet people that say it. That gives the illusion and the perception that if it's not worth doing, don't do it. And here's his example to show why that doesn't make sense. And what he says, if it's worth doing, it's worth screwing it up in the beginning. So we've all been around, if you've got kids, you're going to know exactly what I'm talking about. If you don't have kids and you go to a Thanksgiving dinner or something and someone's got like a, I don't know, 6-7 month old and they're getting ready to start walking, all of a sudden, somewhere on there, that kid's going to grab a hold of a table or a chair and he's going to pull himself up or her and he's going to try to take a few steps and someone's going to see him. Now, he's concentrating really hard to take those steps because he wants to. It's in his, it's genetically, it's what he's supposed to do. Well, all of a sudden, people start looking at him and cooing over him and all this because he's trying to take these steps. Oh, look at little Johnny. He's trying to take a step. Well, then now he loses his concentration because everybody's making him the center of attention. So what's he do? Flops down on his diapers. And he doesn't walk. So people run over there. And if they believed, if it's only worth doing, it's only doing right, they would look down at that kid and go, well, if that's the best you can do, just stay down there. Now, who would say that to a kid? No, they're going to grab him by the hand. They're going to try to help him catch his balance. They're going to do different stuff like that. They're going to make it. So when that kid tried to walk, he's going to fall down a little bit. No big deal. When you start a business, you're going to have things that you just know is going to work. You're going to have the product that every trapper is going to want. Everybody's going to want to get it for you. People are going to want it in their catalogs and this, that, and the other. You've already bought a mansion and speedboats down in Miami by the time you got your product, the first one built in your little shop out back, and it doesn't work out. That's okay. I guarantee you've learned something from it. You'll figure out why people didn't like it if you listen to them. And then you go about your business. So if it's worth doing right, and a business is worth doing, guys, it is worth doing. You've got to be willing to fall on your butt to do it. And that's okay. Don't worry about what other people say. The greedy people out there, they're going to be like vultures. And some of them are going to be your family. That when they find out you're going to try to do something on your own, they're going to be waiting in the bushes, rubbing their hands together, salivating over you to fail some way or another. I don't understand people like that. I don't even like being around people like that. But everybody listening to this knows people like that. And if you're going to try to do something on your own, you're going to have a tough enough skin to when they jump out and start pointing fingers and doing a victory dance because you didn't do what you thought you could do, you just got to blow them off and go about their business. You got to be willing to fall on your diapers every now and then. Because if you didn't do it as a kid, you'd still be on the floor right now, and you're not. So that's something to think about. Now, you notice I did not give you examples on how to be a better trapping business. I do not want to do that. I think that's a dangerous thing to do if I were to do that. Because I don't want someone to latch on to an idea or concept that I just throw out there and run with it. You need to do your own thing. Now, last week I talked a lot about permaculture, and I'm going to use that as an example again to finish this. The power of being creative, the power of seeing a need, and even if you don't have money, how can you make it happen? There is a trend in most of the big cities in this country. It's the most creative way that people want to grow food and grow plants that they've come about doing it that I've ever seen. And they make more than most row farmers do. And most of them get to do it in such a way that they have a tremendous life by doing it. what they're doing, now you think about a farmer now, this and replace this with trapping. You go buy land, you go buy tractors, you go buy buildings, you go buy combines, you go buy seeds, you go buy fertilizer, you go buy. You get debt. And when it's all said and done, if you come out with $50,000, $60,000, you're doing good. And then you get to start over the next year. Now, what these, most of them are young people in their 20s. They want to grow food. They're passionate about it, kind of like a lot of guys are about trapping. They don't have money because everybody says you got to have money to make money, which is baloney. But they don't have the money, but they've got the drive. The traditional way, if they went to the government, you know, government.duh, and learned how to farm, is to go buy all that stuff and that land and go in debt and basically be a serf for the rest of your life and not have any control over your production. What these young people have done is they started going around neighborhoods and alleys, and they found a lot of them are older people that can't keep their yard up anymore. They don't have a lot of money to buy groceries. So these young people go to them, they introduce themselves, they tell them their concept, and what they're doing is they're going into someone's backyard, and a lot of older people just like to have someone around, and they're saying, we want to farm your backyard or your front yard. We're going to supply all the labor, all the seed, everything. Only thing you have to supply is the water. We're going to have hoop houses in the spring and fall. You're going to get a tub of free vegetables every single week. Well, you don't have to maintain your yard anymore because we're going to do it for you free of charge. We need the land. You've got the land. You need food. We're going to grow your food. And it's a great partnership, and it's happening all over the country. Urban farming, this style, is becoming really big. The landowners are tickled to death because he wants to run a lawnmower and a weed eater. They get some really good food. They get company. They get to see something happening on land that was otherwise vacant. The farmers are making $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 in backyards of other people. They're doing what they want to do. And they found a creative way to go about doing it. Now that's farming or gardening, however you want to look at it. And we're trappers. Now if a bunch of kids that get out of college that can't figure out what they want to do in life can figure out creatively how to do that, what's stopping you? You want to get in the predator control business? Dude, all you got to do is go do it. But you got to be smart about it, just like those kids in the city were. If you think you're going to come out of the gate and knock off Predator Control Group with all the branding we've been doing for 15 years, you're going to have a rude awakening. But if you find a creative way to get around that branding and meet new people and convince them that you can do what they need you to do, and it's a good partnership and their world's going to be better off after you leave, you'll be making money. This could be for trapping supplies. It could be for ADC business. There is no telling if people would not think in the traditional business way what they could do. It is mind-blowing if you get out of our industry and start looking around how many things there are that we could use in trapping. Landowners would be better off. Trappers would be better off. The guy that puts it together is naturally going to have profit as just a sidekick of what he's doing. And that's the way I want you to think about business. That's why I want you to have a business. I think every American ought to have a business. Every American ought to have a business. There's businesses in this country right now that are franchised, where the guys that come up with this concept are making hundreds of thousands of dollars a month, where they band people together that need jobs and they go pick up dog crap out of people's backyard. The people don't want to pick it up. They can pick it up in just a few minutes. They've got a system to do it. They've marketed it. People like the idea. And these two guys that started this franchise are making hundreds of thousands of dollars a month because they've got other people picking up dog crap out of other people's yards. And you don't think you can make money in trapping. Wow. Well, I think I've rambled on about this enough. I don't know how long this show is. I'm going to take a look. God, that's a long show. Guys, I'm passionate about this because I want everybody that listens to this to have a better quality of life. Because I am a business owner, I see how strangled people are in their everyday lives because of decisions they have not made or they've made. And I don't want that to be you. So if you want to get in business, you want to learn how to better your life, start reading, watching YouTube. Instead of spending so much time on a trapping forum, maybe you ought to spend a little bit of time on an internet business forum or internet business podcast or something like that. Start getting other ideas in your mind besides how to set a coon trap. Because I guarantee you, you can probably already catch a coon. You got to figure out how you're going to make money from catching that coon. Now go trapping.